Hello and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me today and every week, our friend and Randy Lee. Good to be with you.
So good to be joining you.
Beautiful day out there.
It is.
It's just lovely in Pennsylvania.
The company's lovely in here as well.
Oh, gee.
You got your pumpkin
latte
there.
I paid them for that. Actually, it's Vermont Nut or something.
Oh.
Vermont, it's a little strong, but hey, you know, I like my morning coffee. I often thought about changing this to like morning talk or coffee with the Lees. I still think coffee with the Lees is good, but then you guys would have to bring coffee.
I could do that.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about, and this is our 100th show.
99th, isn't it?
Oh, 99th,
I think
sorry.
It's 99th.
Oh, I thought it was 100.
Maybe it's 100.
Okay, we'll round it up. And it's a privilege to be on the air with you guys. But anyway,
God must have an amazing sense of humor to have gotten us there.
Today we're going to talk about remnants, and I'm excited about that because I've got tons and tons of fabric remnants at home, and I do have a quilt I'm working on for the past 20 years, I think. But I just love
you.
The
are
idea.
You're a quilter because you were made in the image of God. That's what it comes down to. So anyway, but we were at Mass the other day. It sort of got us thinking in these terms. We were at St. Margaret Mary's. Father Sam was doing the homily, and in the middle of homily, all of a sudden, he starts talking about cloth and remnants. And anybody who works in cloth, anyone who has ever even wrapped a present for that matter, has encountered a remnant, right? So you're wrapping a present. You start with a big roll of paper. You put the present on the paper. You cut the paper to fit the package. You wrap the package, and now you look back at the paper, and you got these odd-shaped, odd-sized pieces of paper.
But don't throw them out.
Well, that's really the issue, right? You look around for something else to wrap so you can use these pieces of paper, but nothing ever fits, right?
So not exactly.
So now you are confronted with that moment. Do you take these odd-sized, odd-shaped pieces of paper, these remnants, and put them in a box and pretend that you will use them later, or do you throw them away? Right? And it's the same with cloth, right? You've got the seamstress, the tailor. They start out with this big roll, ream, bolt, whatever cloth comes in, right? And they make something big like a dress or a suit or a coat. And now there's these remnants, these remains, these superfluous pieces of cloth left over. And again, what do you do with them, right? You throw them in the box or you throw them away. And there's this temptation, I think, and I actually think the Bible invites this, to see God as a tailor or a seamstress, because the Bible is filled with these people who are or who see themselves as remnants, right? They're superfluous cloth. God, you know, had left over after the big creation, right? So, for example, you got Genesis, and there's nothing. But God starts his creating, and, you know, there's good stuff, and there's good stuff, and there's good stuff, and every day there's more good stuff, and when he gets done, he's created paradise, right? Everything's good. So then he makes Adam and Eve, puts them in paradise, and what happens? Eve screws up as a wife.
Things are falling apart.
Eve screws up as a wife, but we can't stop there. We got to keep the story going. So new beginning. We'll try Eve as a mother. She has Cain, her firstborn, right? New way, new man, new beginning. Then she has Abel, and what happens?
The killing starts.
Cain kills Abel. Yeah. Exactly right. Right. So where does that leave Eve? Right. Where does that leave Cain, for that matter? Right. Story's got to keep going. We've got this whole Bible to fill, and we're only on the first book. Right. So story's got to keep going. But we've got this woman who's corrupted, who's corrupted her husband, whose first son killed her second. You know, she is a remnant. She's now superfluous cloth. There's no spot in the story going forward for her, right? Throw her away, put her in the box, you know, get a new bolt of cloth, right? Start over. What do you do with Cain, right? He killed his brother. How do you go forward from there? What can you do with him? Remnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right plan goes forward. Superfluous cloth for Cain, though.
And not to speak for God, but the temptation could be to start over from scratch.
Well, that's exactly, I mean, that's the point, is you get the new roll of wrapping paper, get the new bolt of cloth, right? Because these pieces are just not going to fit anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, and you know, we were talking about your quilting, the quilting that you do, and how, you know, you are a quilter in the image of God, because God isn't just a tailor, right? He's not just a seamstress. You know, people who work with cloth are also quilters, and quilters are people who take remnants. Mm-hmm. And they find a purpose for them. They bring the remnants together and they make something beautiful. And God, as much as he's a seamstress or tailor, he's also a quilter. And throughout the Bible, we find God reaching into the box, recovering the remnants, and bringing them together to make something beautiful. So you go back to what really happens with Eve, and we assume Eve's story ends with Cain and Abel. Right. And in fact, Eve assumes Eve's story ends with Cain and Abel. Right. And after Cain kills Abel, she is like absolutely devastated, you know, and not surprising. Think what it would be like to be Eve and have lived Eve's life. You know, just that one moment where one son kills the other would be devastating. But then the whole, you know, fall and all that other stuff. I mean, she's been dealt a horrible hand in her. Right. And she's like, after Cain kills Abel, she's like, why would God ever bless me with a family again?
Yeah.
But suddenly, right, she's with child again, and she has Seth, right? And she's like, amazed. God has made for me another son. That's where the name Seth comes from. You know, this wonder, this awe that she's been pulled out of the box and she's back in the salvation story and in really an incredible way, because through the line of Seth will come all kings, all prophets, all priests, and the Son of God himself, right? God has taken Eve and sewn her back into the salvation story, made with her something beautiful, right? We assume Cain's story ends when he's banished with his brother's blood crying out from his hands, right? But Cain marries, and he has a son, and he builds a city, and the Bible tells us that all who play harp and organ and work in brass, so you got the old brass section of the orchestra as well, right? All who play harp and organ and work in brass, right, come through the line of Cain. Music comes to us through Cain, this man of deepest sorrow and anger, but also of redemption and joy, this passionate character. That's where music comes from.
You know what's coming to me strongly right now? I'm thinking of all the women out there who have made that terrible decision to have an abortion, and thinking, okay, nothing good can ever come from me, you know. Even the idea of like having children later, you push out of your head and think, what good could come from that horrible sin that I've committed? And so, you know, you're just saying, look, God can take us as remnants and make something beautiful out of even our sinfulness and our mistakes and go on and on and on. And as a quilter, not a great quilter, but I'm thinking when you're working on a quilt, often you're just working with a tangle of thread. And you look and you think, this is never going to look that great. And then it's when it's done. Wow.
And I think of all the people, like you said, people who are lonely, depressed, and feel like there's no niche, no purpose for them, that God has purpose for everyone. And he promised us that, the plans he has for us. And we just have to give it over. And God uses it. You talk of that thread. I envision God weaving together our weakness with a golden thread of his mercy.
I love that. That's beautiful,
just
Brenda.
Like, and he can do that. It's just, again, it's a mindset. I think Satan will tell us you're no good, you're cast aside, you're a nothing.
He's the accuser,
Again, there's God has a plan for each of us.
Yeah.
You know?
And so even though we think like maybe we're a cat that's used up our nine lives, that's a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah.
And there's examples from the Old Testament on.
Right.
That tell us there's a different story.
Oh, and it's constantly coming up in the Old Testament. I mean, you think of, to me, Leah is a wonderful story, like Jacob's other wife, right? You've got this incredible love story of Jacob and Rachel, and they're just, they just can't wait to get married and all of a sudden. And Leah's this daughter that nobody wants, the sister that nobody wants. And so they sneak Leah in, and she pretends to be Rachel, so Jacob, you know, marries her, and then he finds out the next morning he married Leah, and he's like, man, did you deal me a horrible hand to the father? And so he goes, oh, well, okay, well, just keep her and do something with her, and then I'll give you Rachel, who's the one you really want. And so Leah, I mean, there's never been this incredibly superfluous remnant character. She had one night where her husband loved her, and that's never happening again, right? And yet, you know, so then she has sons, and she's like, well, maybe my husband will love me because I gave him sons. And of course he doesn't. Mm. Right. And she's like, there really is no place for me in the story. And yet the real story that's going on there, right, one of her sons is Judah, right? All of the kings of Israel, Judah, are going to come through the line of Judah kings, you know. One of her sons is Levi. All of the priests, Moses, and all, they're going to come through the line of Leah.
Yeah.
She's really like the center of the story. But as you guys are talking about, you know, Satan is telling her, your life isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
You're a remnant. You know, you've been cast off. No gift is ever going to fit in the paper that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You think of wrapping up. And God is like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to play. It's like, Bren, when you said Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you to give you a future filled with hope. And that's with God's whispering. And Satan is constantly trying to break that line of communication and convince us that we're just cast off and we can't be threaded back into the beauty of the story.
And it's so crippling when we think that way, when we think, okay, and it's really prideful, really, if you get the bottom of it, because you think, well, God can't do anything with me.
Nobody has ever been as messed up as me.
Right. Like, I'm creating the new mold. Nobody
can
screw up as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And really, excuse me, but you're not that great. You know, in other words,
you're not the
greatest screw-upper in the world.
I mean, to go back to what you were saying in terms of you think of the sin that you have committed,
mm-hmm.
or what, you know, whoever's, and nobody will ever commit a sin as big as I have.
Right.
And so therefore I'm left out, and this is the one that God can't forgive. And then you go back to Eve. So let me see. Your sin, you've led to the fall of all humanity. Huh. I wonder if you've got her beat, you know. I mean, but God keeps saying, I created you to be beautiful. I created you so that I could use you for salvation and redemption and for love. And you're an instrument of peace. And he keeps coming back to her and making that happen through her.
All right, let's stop and take a break quick, but we'll come back and we'll finish that thought about how we are all remnants and what God can create out of our remnant, okay? So stay tuned. You're listening to The Family Show with Brenda and Randy Lee.
Hi, it's Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. Thank you for spending time with us and the EWTN Global Network during our broadcast day. Sunrise to sunset at 7:20 on your AM dial, or 24 hours a day on the World Wide Web at 720WHYF.com. We hope you'll stay with us in this new year for some very exciting new programs and some familiar voices you'll recognize. From all of us at Holy Family Radio, thanks for listening.
We're back with a family show with Brendan Randy Lee, and we're talking about remnants.
And quilting.
And quilting. All right.
So continuing on our theme of remnants, Father Phil, who's a Capuchin, he's stationed out at Holy Family, mm-hmm. as in, well, Holy Family Parish, and we're Holy Family Radio. Just mm-hmm. incredible coincidence.
Isn't
there.
Isn't that neat?
But he's stationed at Holy Family in St. Francis, and the other day, which happened to be this feast of the feast of St. Matthew, he was talking about, of all people, St. Matthew, just another interesting coincidence. There you go. And St. Matthew has got to be one of my all-time favorite remnant people. And I think because of the way we as Catholics read or encounter the Bible, you know, we show up on Sunday, we get these short anecdotes out of context. I don't think we always appreciate how a story looks in context, mm-hmm. right? So we think of the story of the calling of St. Matthew, the tax collector, right? And Matthew is this tax collector, which means not only did the scribes and Pharisees not like him, mm-hmm. right? But Jesus' disciples would not have been so crazy about him either, mm-hmm. right? Tax collectors, they are perceived as they're swindling, money grubbing.
And he was a Jew.
And he was a Jew, right? Right? But he's still perceived as this swindling, money grubbing, backstabbing, blood-sucking, greedy traitor, because yeah. he's helping the Romans and he's right. a Jew, right? So none of these are attributes to be, you know, aspired after, right? So Jesus and the gang are rolling down the road one day, right? And Jesus sees this tax collector character, and Jesus says to this guy what none of Jesus' disciples has any interest in hearing Jesus say to this mm-hmm. guy, which is, follow me.
Yeah.
Right? So Matthew jumps up, he takes Jesus home, he makes him dinner, invites over all his remnant, maladjusted, outcast friends, right? The scribes and Pharisees are going nuts. Does your master not know who he's yeah. eating with, right? Mm-hmm. And the apostles are dying, right? The only thing getting them through the night is that this has got to be a one-shot deal, right? We eat with this guy once, we leave town, it's over, but there's these lingering doubts. Jesus did say, follow me. And then this Matthew guy did the leading back to his house, so there hasn't been any following yet. So Jesus may have more planned than just one dinner, right? So the apostles get Jesus alone after dinner, and they're like, because they still don't like this guy.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, they don't trust this guy. They're like, so Jesus, when you said to this Matthew guy, follow me, you meant like today for dinner. You didn't mean for him to come with us like on the road. And Jesus is like, yeah, I meant follow as in come with us on the road. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen the movie,
join the band, in
right, exactly, join the band, yeah. right? Welcome Yoko, right? So, and if you've ever seen the movie Sandlot, when Benny shows up with Smalls at the Sandlot, and the other guys don't want Smalls in the baseball game, and they're like, Benny, Jesus, what are you doing? The guy's a loser. We didn't even want to eat with him, and now we got to walk somewhere with him? Like, how long are you thinking this is going to last? And Jesus is like, forever, mm-hmm. right? It's worse than him just coming with us. I'm making him one of my inner 12, and the rest of you are going to be working with him for the rest of eternity,
right?
Right? This Matthew guy, he's going to be a pillar upon which I build my church.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, we don't even want to eat with this yeah. guy, right? If you bring him on board, we will all starve. Mm-hmm. We don't want to eat with him, right? And you watch this unfolding, and you go, whoa, what was Jesus thinking when he grabbed that remnant? Nobody likes him, mm-hmm. right? And in fact, this guy probably doesn't even like himself, right? He's very quick to like yeah. just say, you know, I'm disowning my life and going with you, right? Why would you ever think you wanted to build a church on him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, will you remember the sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet with
yeah.
her tears and
yeah.
hair? And Jesus says of her, because she has been forgiven much,
yeah.
she loves much.
And remember those, it was at the house of who?
Simon the Pharisee.
And he was thinking, although Jesus
yeah.
knew exactly what he was thinking, doesn't he know who
well,
this is?
Yeah, this is a remnant. What's he doing? You,
yeah.
you know, start with fresh cloth, right?
Right.
right. But when Jesus says, because she has been forgiven much, she loves much, it's the clue to the whole Matthew story.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus chose people who would need to be forgiven much
yes.
to be the foundations of his church because he needed to build a church on people who would love much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. He goes, my church has got to be built on love. How do I do that? I got to forgive much because then, and bring those people, because they're the ones who are going to love much. And if that's what the church is going to be, is it's going to be about love,
yeah.
then I've got to begin by forgiving much. Those people are going to be the ones who are going to be the key to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Paul.
It's interesting that Matthew, at that point, when Jesus said, follow me, he just went instead of like, you know what I mean? And I think we all have to be ready.
It's the remnant jumping out of the box.
Yeah. He could have said, you know, let me check my email and find out if there's any references on this guy.
I can't live this life any longer. This may be my chance to get out.
Yeah. But we have to be ready, too.
That's right. And that's, I think, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Paul lists all these great gifts, and then he comes back around and he says, the greatest of these is love, right? Christ could have built his church on intellect, purity, power, beauty.
And all of that's there.
That's right. But this cornerstone, the foundation, is he chose to build it on love, right? He reaches into the remnant box and he starts pulling out these odd-shaped, odd-sized, seemingly superfluous pieces. And one by one, he redeems them and he sews them together and he makes something beautiful, right? And Brenda, to pick up on what you were just saying, I think if the church is to be restored, we need people who will allow themselves, just like you were saying, who will allow themselves to be forgiven much, restored, so that they can start loving much, right? If we think we're going to do this on ourselves or we merit it or whatever, but if we just say, you know what, I am broken, I am a remnant. Mm-hmm. Jesus, redeem me, heal me, strengthen me, call me into your plan, whatever you want, because I need you. Those are the people that he can build the church on.
And as Eleanor said, it comes down to letting go of your pride. You know, who are you to say you can't be forgiven? You know, we are broken. You have to let God transform you and give him 100%.
You know, I'm thinking, I don't know if it was St. Therese of the Little Flower, St. Teresa of Avila, it was one of the Teresas, right, who said, oh, happy fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In other words, recognizing, you know, that we're sinners, okay, and because of that, in a sense, Jesus came to help the broken. He came to reach not the saints, but the sinners. He came as the divine physician. And so we have a claim to his mercy.
Well, you know, and I think, Eleanor, before we were just talking about this, and you had a beautiful image of Jesus as the quilter, because you said, and I take the quilt onto my lap. Mm. Right. And I stitch it with my hands and it's resting on my legs. And there's this intimacy. It's not like Jesus just like from a distance goes, OK, you can come out. Remnant, you can come out of the box and we'll do. But he's intimately associated with this piece of cloth.
Mm, that's beautiful.
That he's going to make into salvation. And what Matthew does in response to being called by Jesus, very interesting. The Bible tells us that his response is anastasis, right? And that's the word that the Bible uses, not only for Matthew's response, but it's the same word that the Bible uses for resurrection, right? So when Jesus calls Matthew, Matthew rises from the dead, right? Mm-hmm. He is this discarded, superfluous, forgotten remnant. And suddenly, because Jesus has taken him and lifted him onto his lap and begin to sew him into the quilt, suddenly Matthew is alive again. He's light again. He's integrated again. He's beautiful again. He's valuable again.
It's like, I think we have to, that's another one of those things to meditate on, because really, what Jesus is saying to us is, look, I have a purpose for you. Mm-hmm. I know you've screwed up a million times, okay? But your life has meaning. You have a purpose. And we all need to really embrace that. And we may not know what it's going to be today.
We need to help others embrace it instead of us looking and saying, well, you messed up. You're out.
Yeah. You know? Don't we go run to that
first?
I'm thinking like sometimes with our kids, we often jump into that and then we forget to say the second part of it, which is, hey, listen, look, we all mess up.
Right.
Okay. Let me help you move on.
You know, it's funny. There's a, I was this morning, I was looking around the house or trying to do something in the house. Anyway, I noticed, surprisingly, that it's been there for years probably, we have this picture of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart hanging in our house. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Mozart is a guy who kind of somewhat familiar.
My father.
Mozart's a guy who knows a little bit about the concept of genius, right? And the quote with this picture is, no, Mozart says, neither a lofty degree of intelligence nor imagination, nor both together, go to the making of genius. Love, love, love. That is the soul of genius, right? The genius of God isn't that he's smarter than we are.
Mm-hmm.
The genius of God is he loves perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, as you were saying, Eleanor, there's all these other valuable gifts, but all of them become ordered perfectly because God loves perfectly, right? And we have to avail ourselves. We have to, you know, one, we have to let him love us. But then as St. Francis prayed, and Brenda, you were alluding to when you said we've got to be a channel of that love for others.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be willing. That's where the church is going to be rebuilt. It's not going to be that we're going to come up with some incredible philosophical message that's going to, it's going to be we are going to love in the image of God.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're like me, but unless I immerse myself, right, in daily, well, I'm going to call it reminders, but really I'm talking about prayer. You know, reading scripture, going to Mass as often as I can, going to adoration, just because that's what you're going to hear. You're going to see, and you're going to see examples over and over of people that screw up, but God, you know, Jesus calls us, always calls us back, always calls us up. And I guess I need to hear that and meditate on that a lot.
We do every day. Every day that needs to become our mindset.
Every day we need to experience the love of God, because those who are forgiven much, those who love much, or those who are forgiven much, those who receive love much, they're going to be the ones who are instruments of love.
We are out of time. I always say this is the fastest half hour, but it's really wonderful stuff to meditate on. And we invite you to join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for the Family Show. And please stop by at our website at 720whyf.com and consider making a generous donation to this radio apostolate.
Including keeping us in your prayers.
Absolutely.
Especially as we come up on 100 shows.
That's right.
Wow.
For Brendan, Randy Lee, I'm Eleanor Rossman, and we leave you with the beautiful sound of Seasons.